Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. When we study Christianity in daily living, we learn that we must imitate Christ. But how can we, being human and weak and sinful, have the ability to imitate Christ, who was sinless, who was perfect, the divine Son of God? Now the nature of Christ differs from the nature of man. He, being deity in the flesh, possessed to perfection qualities that men can possess only in a limited way. In order for us to imitate Christ, we must develop a Christ-like nature, striving toward His perfection. Now God has encouraged us and motivated us to become partakers of the divine nature through great and precious promises. He not only offers us guidance and comfort and protection, and even providence in this life, but heaven after this life is over. What greater incentives could be provided for us? He has not left us alone without aid in becoming partakers of a nature like Christ. Now we often hear it said that human nature never changes, and we believe this must be true. We also believe that human beings, however, can change. They can become more and more like Christ until we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, 1 John 3 and verse 2. And while we will never fully comprehend all that is implied in that statement, it is certain that mankind can become a partaker of the divine nature. Now we have heard it said regarding some people, a leopard can't change its spots. Well, I don't really know much about leopards, but evidently the Lord thought mankind can change, because Christ came to this world to bring about the change that is needed to make sinful man fit for His service and His fellowship. Becoming like Christ is not something that happens automatically or suddenly. A person is not steeped in defiant and rebellious sin one moment and possess the character and the disposition likened unto the Son of God the next. Becoming like Christ, partaking of the divine nature, is a matter of spiritual growth. It is a process that never knows completion as long as we live here on this earth. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we have pointed out how God has provided the way whereby we can become like Christ. Having offered great and precious promises to those who will strive to be like Him, Peter, writing by inspiration, tells us of the qualities that we must develop. The development of these Christ-like qualities requires a constant and persistent effort on our part. And the starting point is faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 tells us without faith it's impossible to be pleasing to Him. Jesus said, "Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins," John 8:24. And faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. Before we can begin to build a character like Christ, we must have this obedient faith which the Gospel teaches. Then these various traits are built. Simultaneously, not one at a time, they are so interwoven one with another that they cannot be separated, except for study. To faith we must add virtue, which means courage, and boldness, and manliness. In the life of the Apostle Peter, we see demonstrated virtue and the lack of it. He certainly lacked virtue when he denied the Lord three times, but he displayed virtue when he stood before the Jewish leaders, risking his very life, defying their commands to cease in preaching the gospel. He continued to preach Christ even under the threat of persecution and death. Virtuous people are not afraid or ashamed to stand up for the truth of God whenever, wherever, and before whomsoever they have the privilege to stand. And to virtue we are to add knowledge. Some knowledge is essential before one can even become a Christian. He must know the truth concerning Christ and the plan of salvation. But having obeyed the gospel plan, he must add to his knowledge lest he fail to grow and be strengthened. He needs to be grounded in the truth, able to withstand false doctrines so he will not be tossed to and fro by them. He needs to be able to teach the truth and convict the gainsayer. And my dear listening friend, this knowledge comes through the study of the Bible. Bible study is an essential activity in becoming more like Christ. Therein, the Christ is revealed. How else and where else can we even know what we are to imitate? To knowledge, we are to add self-control, sometimes called temperance. Self-control has two meanings. Some have a limited meaning of temperance to moderation, and this almost exclusively to drinking alcoholic beverages. Such a concept fails to understand the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Self-control, or temperance, means abstinence from that which is sinful. One cannot claim to have self-control unless he refrains from what is evil. It also means to use and partake in moderation even that which is acceptable and good. And there is no way to moderately get drunk. There is nothing sinful about eating food unless it is done without self-control. There is nothing but evil in consuming alcoholic beverages. There is no way to lie moderately, to steal moderately, to commit adultery with moderation. These things are sinful in themselves. Such things as eating and our recreation and our work, these are right in themselves, but they must be utilized with moderation. The Christian knows how to regulate his life and control himself, keeping himself in circumspect boundaries of behavior. The lack of self-control is at the root of many of the problems mankind brings upon himself. Happy is that person who's learned to manage his life and keep himself under bondage. And this idea of just letting yourself go, that's contrary to the teaching of the Lord. Christians won't do that. They possess temperance. And we're to add the quality of patience to our character. Patience refers to faithfulness, endurance, steadfastness. Job is presented to us in the Bible as an example of patience, James 5 and verse 11. In the face of all of his suffering and all of his disappointments, he never gave up. He kept going. He stayed faithful to God, and he refused to accept his wife's advice to curse God and die. Being patient means that we will serve God in good times and bad, in easy times as well as in difficult ones, in adversity as well as prosperity. The Lord is our God. Our faith is one of conviction, not merely convenience. And we're to add to our characters the quality of godliness. Now, godliness is not the same thing as godlikeness. Godliness refers to reverence, having respect for things holy and sacred. It is genuine piety toward God. A godly person would never take God's name in vain. He will not speak disparagingly of the Lord's church or his commands or anything related to him. He respects God's authority. He cherishes God's promises. Reverent esteem is what he shows toward deity. And while a godly man may at times stumble, he will also rise from such things and press on because he knows and loves all things that are of God. Even when so much of the world is showing contempt and offering ridicule for the standards and the doctrine of Christ, the godly man will bend his every effort to conform himself to that teaching. He holds God in awe and in reverence. And finally, we are taught to add brotherly kindness and love. These two qualities can be considered together because they are very much alike. We are to have brotherly kindness toward our brethren. We are also to seek the highest good of all of those around us. This is the meaning of love. Love is unselfish. It seeketh not her own. Love is concerned about the welfare of others and what is best for others. Our first priority is toward brethren in the Lord. The love that the Christian must develop, however, extends beyond his brethren. If we love only those that love us, in what way are we distinctive or different? Christ reasoned that way in Matthew chapter 5. We're to do more than that. Many problems and much strife would cease to exist in the church and in the world if more of us could learn to possess and practice genuine love. a trait of character that is a part of the divine nature. Now Jesus showed us what love is. In John 15, he said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." But have you ever considered how Jesus even went beyond this and gave his life for those who were alienated from God, yet sinners, and he died for such? Romans 5, 6-9. And the Apostle Peter closes these inspired remarks with the great assurance that developing such a character will produce only our spiritual good. He said, "For if these things be in you and abound, then certain blessings will be enjoyed." We will not be unfruitful in the service of God. We will not be blind, but able to see what is of real value and truth. We'll not be groping about in darkness, but seeing in the light of truth. We can make our calling and election sure. This provides us with security and confidence. If we possess these qualities, we shall not fall. The Lord does not guarantee us sinless perfection, and those who either claim such or expect such have no basis for their thinking in Scripture. In the adding of these qualities, we can build a preventive power against falling away, and there is an entrance into heaven awaiting us. Is there any wonder, then, seeing the end result of having a Christ-like nature, that it is called a divine nature? There is abundant life with deity and fellowship while we live here and on earth, plus the assurance of an eternal joy in heaven with the redeemed of all the ages. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.